Thank the Lord for a new year. This is our first service in the chapel this year, since we were missing the first Sunday. The Lord has been very good to us. He's been very gracious. And I believe all of us can testify to that this morning, that God is good. We desire your prayers this morning. We always love it when the Lord gives us a New Year's message on the beginning of the new year. So our thoughts are running along that same line this morning, and we desire that you would pray that the Lord will help us. We're thinking of 1 year ago. It seems like just a short time. Now you and I are at the threshold of a new year. 2012 is now history. I have a history, and you have a history, and the whole world has a history. And I think that your history and my history is far more important than the history that will be recorded in books, because you and I are dealing for eternity. And so what was recorded in our history for 2012, it will have an impact on us for 2013. Just as all events that take place in our society, in our government, decisions that are made, they impact then all future events. And you and I have lived during the last year, and we have had events come into our life, and we've had choices and decisions that we had to make. And so it will impact us for what is in our path now. I think it's so important. The world does this, or at least they say that they do it. They come down to the end of a year and they begin to reaccount what took place in the news, you might say. You'll find in December, the latter part of December, they begin to start reaccounting what happened. Highlights of the year, main events, main news stories. And I think that it's good for us to be that way too. It's good for us to take inventory or notice and look back. It's good for us to maybe evaluate and say, where am I now compared to where I was 1 year ago? I believe that the Lord wants us to see growth. He wants us to experience victories in our life that we will be able to say, I believe I may be a little farther down the road than I was 1 year ago, because I can look at those places of victory. We want to begin with a scripture in Philippians, and the third chapter, and speak a little bit in the beginning of the thought this morning what Paul said. In the 13th verse, he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." You know what this word apprehend means? It means for me to lay hold of, or even comprehend or understand. And another definition was simply to capture. And he's saying here, I don't count myself to have really laid hold on it all. And I don't think that any of us here this morning would be able to stand up and say, I've learned it all this last year. I don't need anything else. I've got enough. We come here with a need this morning. I do. I have something out before me I don't know about. Today, I don't know what today holds. The scripture says that we don't even know what a day will bring forth, much less a year. We will have to live this year and come down to the end of it if time is permitted. And then we'll be able to look back and say, now this is the history for this year. But right now, I have not attained to that. And so Paul said that here. And he said, but there's one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind. Now, I don't believe that what he's saying here, nor do I believe that the Lord wants you and me to forget everything that is in the past year. I believe what he's saying here is, this past year, I cannot go back and change anything about it. But I can't let that disturb me and destroy me to where I am not effective then for looking forward. And so he's saying here, because I can't go change anything, I'm laying that down. And he says here, I forget those things that are behind. I reach forth. This is where you and I are right now. We're at a place of reaching forth unto those things that are before. There is another translation that I read one time, and I wrote it down here in my Bible. And this is what it says. It says, reaching forth or straining every nerve for that which lies in front. Does that give us a little bit different perspective of what Paul might be talking about when he says, I reach forth? He's counting it so important because I don't know what a day will bring forth. I don't know what a week, a month, or a year will bring forth. But I intend to win the race or win the prize. And he goes on and he says, I reach forth to those things that are before. I strain with every nerve and I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I believe that's where you and I are this morning. There's things in the past we can't change. We can't go back and make it any different. It's all set, you might say, in stone. We cannot change it. Therefore, I have to leave it behind. And I have to stand in this place. And I'm looking forward now. And I want that to be in our thoughts this morning. It's not necessarily that this is the message, because our message is going to take a little different thought. We have a burden for us to study and think on and be exhorted on faith. So let's turn our thoughts now away from what is past. We're facing a future that we don't even know will be a future. We don't know when the Lord is going to come. We had a date that was passed up in December, where men thought that the end of the world was going to come. You and I knew that it wouldn't because of the Word of God. So we rested in it. But there were people that were very disturbed. But on the other hand, the Scripture does say that the day of the Lord will come. It will come as a thief in the night. And it will, not even Jesus knows the date, not even the angels of heaven, but God the Father knows the date, the time, the hour. And because of that information, I don't know if this year will be the last. I don't know when it will be. You don't know when it will be. But we have to live as though it might happen. It causes us to be serious in our thoughts. It causes us to live cautiously and carefully. It causes us to live as though it will be tomorrow and as though it won't be tomorrow. We have to live that kind of life. And faith must be the very foundation of all of my life. So this morning I would like to speak to us about faith. And as we name the name of faith or the subject of faith, our minds automatically go to Hebrews, the first chapter, the 11th chapter and the first verse. And it's familiar to us all. And we sometimes count this like a definition for faith. And yet I count it as a very obscure definition. It's easy for us to memorize this and say, now faith is this. It is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. That is a definition that seems like it is not clear at all. I don't know if you feel that way, but I've read this scripture all of my life, and from time to time I get a little glimpse of understanding of it. I add it to the understanding that's been given to me. Do you ever feel that you're growing in the understanding of what faith is? It's very difficult to really just lay down a definition that every person, including every child, could get a hold of. Because faith is something that is, it's not seen. We can't walk by sight. We can't walk by feelings. It is something that we can't conjure up. I can't just make myself have faith. It has to be developed. It has to be given. I think about my niece, Lori, when she died. She left a little letter to the family. And this is what she said. Lori was adopted. And she said that when she was a child, she got faith. And she just simply let it grow. That's how she said it. Well, that sounds real simple. And I believe to some extent we all have had faith or gotten faith when we were young, because Jesus said, except you become as a little child. How are children? Children, you can tell them about Jesus and they believe it. They accept it. They accept the stories that we tell them in the little primary class when they're just little toddlers, 2 and 3 years old, and you begin to tell them of the miracles of the Bible, of how that Jonah was in the belly of a fish. Logic says that can't be so. You can tell about all of the different accounts and stories of the Old Testament. By the way, how many times is the word faith in the Old Testament? The word itself. The word faith is in the Old Testament 2 times. Yet all of the patriarchs of the Bible, all of those characters that you and I have grown up reading about, studying about, hearing about, we have believed the account. And we have seen faith in their lives because they chose to believe. We sang a song this morning. Actually, it was our 2 first songs in Sunday school. The Virtue of Faith. It's a wonderful song. It would pay you and me to analyze that song, to apply it to us, to ourselves, literally and spiritually and personally. But we also sang the song that's on the next page. Faith is believing, simply receiving. Seems so simple. And yet faith is so contested. The enemy contests faith. He knows we will be weak if our faith is weak. And yet God has given us this command, have faith in God. We cannot have faith in man. It speaks over there in the Old Testament. It says for me not to trust in man, but to place my trust in God. Vain is the trust of man. I cannot put my hope. I can't put my hope in the government. I can't put my faith in the government. I can't put my faith in man, but I can put my faith in God. And so this particular passage, this whole chapter is really a wonderful chapter for you to study in your devotions. I would urge you to do it. I've been doing it. Faith is substance that I can't see. It's evidence. Things that I've hoped for. I have some other synonyms. You could say faith is assurance. As you grow in faith, as you experience the result of your faith, as you come to those places where it's like Jesus said to different ones throughout his walk in his ministry, and they trusted and had faith in his healing power. The one came behind and simply touched his garment and said, if I would but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And he felt the virtue go out of his body, it says. And he turned and he said, who touched me? He knew exactly that there was someone that had faith. And when he saw her, he said, your faith has made you whole. How many events in this past year have you been able to look at and the Spirit of the Lord say, your faith is the result of this answer? Maybe we go along in life, we live every day, it all sort of runs together. Doesn't it do that? Our days run together. And the other day, some of the young people was at our house, and I thought it was Sunday. I don't know what day it was, but you know, our days can run together, and events of our life can run together. But let's analyze and think about and allow those things to come back to us to be able to strengthen our faith and confidence and assurance that we can face tomorrow. And we have this song, you know, that we sing, and it's always so inspiring. I know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds my hand. We can put our faith and our confidence for whatever is in our path this year. His grace will be sufficient. By faith, I can say that. Because I've looked back. Because I know what he has done in the past. I've often said to the young people here, and I say it to all of us in reality, but those of us that may be this age, we have had our experiences where we have our confidence more settled. And I want to see the young people. I want to see the Lord prove himself to the young people. I want to see them get their answers to prayer. To see the hand of God guiding them in their lives, winnowing their path, ordering their steps. And when you begin to see that and experience it, what does it do to your faith? It adds to your faith. That which is unseen is now apparent, and you go on to the next thing that needs faith. The scripture speaks about going from faith to faith. Our faith is working in this place, and the event or whatever it is comes to pass, and then we go past that. It says that if it's by sight, it's no longer faith. You have it. See, but all along your path, you're going to need faith for every step. So that's what this scripture is talking about. Assurance and your confidence because of past events where God has met you and answered your prayer and he's worked in your life. And then he says, now don't stop there. It's still not enough. You still need more faith. It needs to continue to grow. I think about the scripture where Jesus said, he said that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, I don't really know what he meant totally about that, because mustard seed is the least of all seed. It is very, 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 very tiny. And yet it can grow a plant that is very, very profitable. And he said, if you just have faith like that, and I don't know if he's meaning faith is so, it can work even if it's the smallest amount of faith. I don't know. But he also went and he said to somebody else that a great answer, a miracle took place. And he said, great is thy faith. So I believe he doesn't want us to stay down here where it's very teeny tiny faith. He wants us to let every step of our life, every event of our life, to grow our faith until we can have great faith. I'm not sure that you and I will ever really reach the place where we say we have all the faith we need. I really, and I've thought about this, I've heard, and I think it is unwise to say something to this effect, and I don't think anyone meant wrong, but they began to talk about how great their faith was. And I have a question about whether we should even comment about, oh, my faith is so great. Our dependency on God is always so great that our faith has to be that dependent also. So faith is so, so important. Habakkuk, the second chapter, verse 4. Has this little phrase in it, and it's also repeated in the New Testament. And this is what it says. It says, the just shall live by faith. Now, that is a different faith than what the world would call faith. The world has a faith. They say they believe. They believe in God. But the scripture tells us that simply believing is not enough. It says that the devils believed, but the devils are not saved. The devils believe there is a God. The devils believe he has power, but his power is not working for the devils. So you and I cannot just simply say, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe, so I have faith. We have to let faith grow. There's another scripture that says, let me think. It is in Acts 17 and 31. I just wrote down a portion of it. And this is what it says. He, the Father, hath offered faith. This is really a marginal reading, so you won't find it written like this, but it's in your margins of some Bibles. He hath offered faith unto all men. So this morning, faith has been offered unto everyone that is here, and it comes from God. And when God offers this faith, he wants to develop it. And he will put those things in your life that will cause you, that your faith will develop, that your faith will grow. Now, in the 11th chapter there of Hebrews also, we're going to look at verse 6 and then jump back up to verse 3. And this is what it says. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For, and I say, because, He that cometh to God for anything. We absolutely know, according to the scripture, that our salvation, you cannot even have salvation without faith. A measure of faith must be a part of your salvation. Some might say, well, it's a gift of God. But it says plainly that it was also by faith. It is a gift, but it took my faith in believing that God could save me from my sins. That the blood of Jesus had that kind of power. I don't question it. I have absolute confidence that what the Word says, it does. That's why the little children, we begin telling them the stories. We even tell them that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and they believe it, and they accept it. And so it begins to grow, and as time goes on, these little children become adults. And then it becomes the power in their life, and they experience it, and their faith takes hold. See? And it's the same with you and me. So because he cometh to God for anything, for salvation, for sanctification, for divine healing. We like to think of faith for those three things, don't we? We like to feel that that's the doctrines of the Church of God and the Word of God and the teachings. But I want to tell you, you can have faith for everything. All of the issues of your life, all of the things that are a concern to you in your life, every detail of your life, God wants to strengthen your faith for answers for everything in your life. Yes, he wants it for salvation and sanctification and for healing. But just as Lorenda was giving a request this morning, we want direction. We want the Lord to order our lives. We want to be in the will of the Father for this move. Whatever you and I do in life, we can seek him by faith. Our faith can rest and trust and have confidence that he is able to guide every step of my life. Thank the Lord. So that's what we're thinking of for the year 2013. I would like for this to be called the year of faith. When we end this year, I would like for the congregation to be able to say, this has been a year of faith. We started out with faith. We're going to let faith grow. And we want to end with faith. See, I believe the Lord wants to do this for all of his people. It goes on and it says, for he that cometh to God, and I'm going to put in there again, for everything, must, and I put in here an extra word, doesn't take away from it, but it inspires us, must first believe that he is what? He is God the Creator. Having said that, I've added that in there. Doesn't take away from the scripture, but that's what you and I have to believe if we come to God. And verse 3 then, if you skip back up to verse 3 in this particular passage, it says here that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. See, there's faith in that too. We don't allow the teachings of the science world that tries to say this was not created by God, but it evolved. We don't allow any of those kind of teachings. I've often told some of the children, young people that are studying things in school, I've addressed it with them. Anna, I was working with her one time on a subject that was could confuse the mind. And I said, Anna, you learn this just well enough to pass the test and then forget it. And that's not faith, see, to believe what's out there. Faith is to take the word of God and believe it. And through faith, you and I believe that it was by the word of God that the worlds were created. And so this is the God, the creator of all of the world. And you and I, by faith, will have to come to him and believe that he is God, and to look around and observe all of his creation and his power, and know that he is able then to do what? The next part it says, he is able by the word of God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So for the year that is ahead of us, let your faith be established. Let faith be strengthened. And it's partly by the next verse that we want to give to you. This subject, as we were down praying a while ago, and I always tell Lorne Vance to pray for me when I'm getting up. And the subject was so big, I knew I could not give it all today or in this setting. But this is the next scripture that I want to give, and I'm skipping some. We'll have to give them another time, maybe tonight. And this is the next scripture, 1 Samuel 7:12. And a portion of that says, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. What does that mean? I'm standing at the point of a new year, and I'm able to look back on several old years. Seven and 12. Mm-hmm. Okay, I can look back over 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 20 years, or 50 years. Can we say, hitherto the Lord hath helped us? That's what will strengthen our faith. If you only have 1 year to look back on, to be a witness that God has helped us this last year, when we come on Wednesday night and we testify what the Lord has done, you know, we have this song that says, what hath the Lord done for thee? Some of those verses are really wonderful verses. There's been times, you know, on Wednesday night, I like to start out the service, the testimonial part. What has the Lord done for thee? Get it in your mind. Keep it in your mind. What he has done. Don't lose it. Don't forget it. Because you need it for what's out before us. So this one, it's like we're standing in a special place right now. We're able to turn and look back. And we're looking at, maybe we've had sickness this past year. Maybe we've had some hard trials. Maybe we have met with disappointments. Maybe we have met with hurts and wounds. Do you know that is life? I wish I could tell the young people and the children, If you give your heart and your life to the Lord, it will be a bed of roses the rest of the way, but it's not that way. It's better for you and me to face reality, to know this is life. The only difference in your life and the man down the street is that you have God, and he might not. And he has to go through the trials and the tests of life and just basically grit his teeth and bear it. But by faith, you've been able to have help. You've been able to have the comfort of the Holy Ghost. You've been given grace and power and might. And this is the difference. And so you look back and you see what the Lord has done. And then you turn and you say, now what? Well, I can tell you what this year will hold. And now you're in wonder. I am not a fortune teller, but I can tell you what you've had in the past, you're going to have some more of in the future. If you've had sickness, if you've had wounds and hurts and disappointments, whatever you've had in the past, it will happen again this year. And for you to take this scripture and say, up until now, the Lord has helped me. And I believe and I have faith that whatever happens this year, whatever might happen tomorrow, he will help me again. I love that song. I wish I had the words to it. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. I may not know how. I may not know when. But he'll do it again. That's our New Year's message. We thank the Lord that we can look forward. We thank the Lord that we can look backward, that it can strengthen us to look forward, to face whatever is in our path. We never, never know what's in our path. But I can tell you by faith that what was in my past, God gave me grace for. And I have confidence and I have assurance because of what he did for me in the past, that he can do it for me in the future. That's our little thought this morning. Have faith in God. Don't allow the obscure definition to confuse your mind about what faith is. Faith is given of God. Let him give you the faith of Christ and the faith of God. And you won't have more than you need, but you will have sufficient. You will have sufficient faith if you let it grow. If you believe, if you trust, if you live, such as the young people even read this morning, all of those verses. You'll be blessed here and blessed there. But what was it, the person that was blessed? The one that, what? Anna, what was your verse? The one that hearkened unto the voice of the Lord. Is that correct? Yes. Let's all hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Let's believe his word. Let's take him at his word. Let's allow him to put those things in our life that will strengthen our faith. Let's trust him that he will not give us more than we're able to bear. There are people that don't believe that scripture because they believe they're going through something that is more than they can bear. But God said, I will with the temptation make a way to escape. I'm not going to give you something that you cannot find a way of escape. Let us trust and believe that He is able. I think about that song also, actually, that song of He is able to deliver. It says there, He is able to deliver thee, O sinner. But if you read the different words of those lines, to me, it's talking to the saint as well. And I remember one time, I went to visit Lori before she died. And I had faith that she was going to be healed. But she wasn't healed. And that's a whole nother message too. But I sang her that song. And I sang it like this. He is able to deliver thee, O Lori. And we put her name in it. And then we came back here to the congregation and some of you probably remember we tried that one night. It sounded a little confusing when we all put our own names in it. But let's make those songs personal. He is able to deliver me. And put your name in it. And then read the verses of those songs and let your faith take hold. Let the faith of God take hold. Now look back over your life. Look back over the last year. What has the Lord done for you? Whatever it was, He'll do it again. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.